Hey everybody, this is Josh McKinney. I just want to welcome you to episode 154 of the I Suck at Jiu-Jitsu Show. So today, it's a solo episode again. Been bouncing between solo and interview. A lot of people have been liking the interviews. Should have one for you guys next week. That'll be really good. Should be a really fun, exciting one. And also a different perspective than we're usually hearing from. And so that will be really fun. But yeah, I'm excited about today's episode. I just got done recording it. I think you guys will like it. I always find that the more topics that I touch on, the more people tend to like the episode. And I never really talk about this. I always say this before I'll teach a seminar. But if you're an avid podcast listener, maybe sometimes I say so much stuff and you are overwhelmed. It's kind of the way that I like to teach is... with a lot of volume, under having a lot of things understood so deeply that I can tell you about them in a sentence, and having a lot of volume. So then you can cherry pick what you like. And so there should be episodes where I say a lot of things that you could just throw out your window for you personally. But maybe those things are helpful for somebody else. But not everything has to be helpful for you. Not everything has to be the, oh man, this is how I need to shape. And I talk about this when we kind of talk about finding your own perspective on this episode. But I just think that's something I always got to reiterate every once in a while is I say a lot of things. I say them very matter of fact. I could be wrong. This is just the way that I see jiu-jitsu. And so, yeah, that's my disclaimer for you guys today. Let's go ahead and jump right into this episode. And here are five habits, things that I think all black belts should understand, all great black belts should understand. And, you know, just because you get your black belt does not mean that you are great in jiu-jitsu by any means. It does not mean you are a great black belt, but I think we've all been on the mats, or at least a lot of us at this point have been on the mats, and they in you're around somebody and you go, oh, there is something different about this person. I've been around other people with the same color belt, but this guy just seems to know and understand things better. He just seems to be able to do things better. He just seems to be able to explain things better. And to me, that is what a great black belt is. So these are five habits that I have picked up being around a lot of great black belts. I've really been blessed to be around so many different cool grapplers over my lifetime, over my jiu-jitsu journey. And you find that a lot of them have things in common. A lot of them understand things in a similar way, even if it's not the same. And what's funny is we always get so hung up on our differences. We may think, oh, this black belt, he has this totally new idea, this new way of looking at things. But a lot of the times he sees everything else that you see very similarly. And just a few little details is what is this big difference in theory, or this big difference in training method, or this big difference in whatever, self-defense versus sport or whatever, right? But to me, if I am meeting a great black belt, he is going to, or she is going to have an understanding of all five of these things that we're about to talk about. And the first one that black belts, all, and I would argue even bad black belts have an understanding of this, the ability to set goals and how goals work. Really good grapplers understand this because in order to compete at a high level, in order to get good, in order to get to your black belt, you have to set a goal. Nobody accidentally gets their black belt. Nobody just goes, you know what? I'm just going to, oh man, I was just keeping trying for these last few months and now I'm a black belt. Heck yeah. Right. Nobody does that in jiu-jitsu. It takes a long time to get your black belt. You, as we've talked about on the podcast, you have to become a different person to be a black belt, right? Anyone can, in quotes, get a black belt. But very few people actually can become a black belt, can actually do the things necessary, have a goal in line. And, you know, as we talk about, a bunch of small goals, a bunch of attainable tasks that lead towards that goal, and also throughout that journey, change who you are as a person. Black belts understand this. They should. Because when you are trying anything, when you're trying anything tough, anything that matters, you have to take it in small bites. You have to have these little battles over and over again. For a lot of us in jiu-jitsu, those little battles are positions. I have to get my guard passed thousands of times before I can understand how to not get my guard passed. I have to, and then eventually, once I understand how to not get my guard passed, I am somebody who has good retention. I am a good guard player now, right? I have become a different person, at least on the mats, just because I understood how to goal set, just because I understood the toughness that comes along with that. And I don't think there's any black belt in the world that would tell you they are the same person that they were when they started jiu-jitsu. It's like people will ask me on podcasts, well, if you weren't doing jiu-jitsu, what do you think you would be doing? Well, I have no idea, dude. I was a little kid. I was 14 when I started jiu-jitsu. It shaped my life. It shaped my job. It shaped all these things. But most of all, it shaped who I am as a person. My opinions, my attitude towards things, the way I approach things, those all come from jiu-jitsu. When you start to learn how to set big goals, you start to learn how to accomplish things. And hopefully that black belt for a lot of us is that first big accomplishment. And then it propels us to, we go, hey, now I know how to accomplish something important. Now I know how to accomplish something hard. I know how to accomplish something great that not a lot of people can do. And then you can apply that idea, those ideas that you learned setting your goals, to any other aspect of life, to running your jiu-jitsu school, to running the class at the jiu-jitsu school that you teach at, to any something non-jiu-jitsu related, to getting a promotion at your next job. You know how to grind. You know how to become the person that you need to become. And if you can do it on the mat, you can do it anywhere. Next, this is kind of a technical understanding. This is probably the only thing, though, that I have that is a technical understanding in this episode. And it is the understanding of offense and defense. I think that this is the biggest separation from black belt to white belt that seems to not get communicated very well. It's crazy that nobody tells you this. But most of the time when you're on the mat and you're rolling with the black belt and you're going, this guy's just killing me. Most of the time, it's because they haven't tried any offense yet. They're playing defensively. And then as you march in like a bull in a china shop, then they find the little holes in your game and they beat you with it. But it only comes with that, those first steps of defense. If you say, Josh, you have to be 100% offensive for an entire round, and I'm going with like a blue or a purple belt, let's say a purple belt, most likely, maybe I'll get a few submissions early, but most likely by the end, their pace will change. Their pace will go defensive. And as I'm just trying to go really hard, I'm going to start to get tired, or I'm trying to just always go offense. I'm going to start to get tired and I'm going to start to lose. Same exact guy. You tell him the same thing against me. Hey, you've got to go hard against Josh's attack for 100%. I'm going to very quickly realize, okay, there is a storm here and all I have to do is weather it. There's no way he can keep this pace up this long, or there's no way he can keep this pace up this long without making a big mistake that I can capitalize on. Understanding offense and defense, that is to me what is the true separator between a purple belt and a black belt, is how good your understanding of offense and defense is. But we don't talk about defense in jiu-jitsu. It's looked at as a bad thing. You're a staller if you defend yourself. If you are doing anything but trying to submit your opponent, you're stalling. Wrong. That is not true. That is jiu-jitsu. being able to nullify everything that an opponent is doing, that is a clear and beautiful expression of jiu-jitsu, of grappling. You're mad that when I get to mount on you, a position that if we were striking, I could just punch you in the face or elbow you in the face as many times as I want. And you're saying I'm a staller because I'm not risking everything for an armbar from that position, right? In a jiu-jitsu tournament. No, that attitude is so against jiu-jitsu. That you have to be pushing forward attitude is so against jiu-jitsu, what it stands for, what it is, and how it should be used. If you're always offense, your defense cannot be that good, right? You are going to have big holes in your game. And black belts, the higher level people, they understand this. They understand when to risk and when not to risk. They understand how much reward they're going to get for their risk. And the better they get, the better that they understand this offense and defense. And a lot of times it's subconscious. A lot of times black belts don't even think about that they're being defensive when they're moving away from you. And they do it so quickly that they don't even highlight it in class. That like 6 inches of running away, and then I give up, and then you have 12 inches of coming forward, right? See, things that black belts do all the time, no one ever talks about them. If you were as a white belt just to add the ability to move forward and backward from the guard on top, your jiu-jitsu would be so much better. Running away is when you are defending a lot of stuff, right? And so as long as I was comfortable with using distance as my defense, just running away, every time I start to feel something that I don't like, well, I'm just going to leave. And then we're going to reset, and then I'm going to get back to where I do like. I'm going to get back to my jiu-jitsu that I do like. That's all black belts do. We're going to talk about why it's so simple at the very end. Why jiu-jitsu is looked at this way once black belts get there. But that is one of the most defining characteristics of somebody. I would even say black belt, just somebody who is great at grappling versus somebody who isn't. Understanding offense and defense, when to be offensive, when to try the techniques that you know, and when to be defensive, when to say, I'm going to protect the spaces that I know are important, and then look for my next opening, look for my next offensive cycle. I think the first time I ever witnessed this, I've talked about this on the podcast. I think the first person I ever really understood this with, at least from the sense of guard passing, because I think this is where it makes a lot of sense. You know, of course, you're defensive when you're in bottom side control. Yeah, everyone's defensive in bottom side control. But what about an open guard? Are you offensive and then defensive and then offensive and then defensive? Those are the best guys. Remember at Blue Belt 1 year, I was watching Andrew Wiltsy. We were just like sitting, I might've been competing later in the day or something. And we wanted to watch him compete. I think it was at Pans. And he was a Blue Belt. He submitted like 7 guys in like less than 6 total minutes. It was something insane. It was like he won 6 or 7 matches in less time than a single blue belt match should have taken. It was obnoxious. But the big takeaway that I had was I go, man, you know, we're acting like he is just blitzing these guys to death. But he's not. He's running away sometimes. Occasionally, he will run away and people would chase him. And then he would run back at them. And while you're chasing me, if I'm now running at you, I have essentially doubled my speed, right? Because it's your speed moving forward and my speed moving forward. And this was my first idea of, wait, he's using both offense and defense, but because jiu-jitsu is so focused on what technique is being used right now, what grip is being used right now, we miss this big thing that's happening, that he, all those moves that he's hitting are coming off of him running away just a few inches, him creating a little distance, him creating a little defense, and then capitalizing when you open yourself up and you say, oh, well, I'm almost in. I'm going to try something here. That is what great grapplers understand. That's what great black belts understand. Understanding when you should be on offense and when you should be on defense. You can a lot of times, if you just want to go, well, how do I apply this to my game? How do I start to be offensive and defensive? Go into a round, go into a few rounds even with people that are decently tough. People maybe that are really competitive rounds. Maybe you beat them and they beat you sometimes. Play the entire round totally defensive. Like when you're in guard, say, okay, I'm going to try to keep them tied up in guard. I'm going to try to retain my guard until I get to my half or my closed or my whatever. But play defensive. Just pay attention to what your opponent is doing. Most of the time, when you do that, you will watch and you'll be like, man, he's super off balance right now. I've never noticed that before. And, you know, whether you capitalize on that or not, irrelevant. Then maybe you go, oh, wow, well, from this position, normally I'm so focused on winning the underhook and I always lose it. What if I just hid the underhook instead? What if I just played defensive? What if I just ran away? I just scooted away from this person. Now the underhook doesn't matter. That's defensive. You got to first learn defense before you can start being offensive with it. Then think of that defense like this. Okay, that defense is me covering up my chin in a boxing fight, boxing match, whatever you want to call it. Is it a jiu-jitsu tournament? Is it a match or a fight? I would love to hear your guys' opinion. Send me an email, josh@simplifyingjiujitsu.com. But regardless, a boxing match, you know, where two boxers go out and match each other in boxing. And you pretend that your defense is you covering your chin in boxing. Obviously, that helps you not get knocked out, right? It helps you not lose. The problem is if you only use your defense, you only cover, right? There has to be times where you throw a punch. Well, when you throw a punch, what are you doing? You're exposing your chin. Jiu-jitsu is like that the same way. When my elbows are tight and I'm playing and I'm not letting you under my elbow, or I'm not letting you in my armpits, I'm not letting you to my hips, I'm kind of playing defensive, right? I'm kind of covering my chin. And then when I extend one of my arms for a grip or for an underhook or for a overhook or for whatever, when I extend, well, I stopped protecting that armpit. I stopped protecting that hip. I've exposed my chin. So now we're in risk to reward. You're going to find places that it's better to reach with your arm and try to get an underhook. And you're going to find places where it's not. But as I've said 10 times now, good black belts understand offense and they understand defense. And the easiest way to start to understand these things is to understand defense. We all understand offense. It gets done to us every class. We attempt it every class. We understand offense. Understand defense. Understand where you can stand and be totally safe from somebody, where you can be in half guard and be totally safe from somebody until they get something else, right? Until they change the position. So, yeah. Hey guys, Josh McKenna here. Just wanted to interrupt the podcast really quick and ask you guys for a huge favor. You know what I'm going to ask? Just give me a 5-star review for the love of God. Why haven't you done it yet? I'm just joking. Maybe you have. I'm kind of yelling at everybody. But a bunch of you actually have given 5-star reviews. Regardless, if you are enjoying this show, if you're enjoying the episode, if you enjoy the content that we put out at the I Sucker Jiu-Jitsu Show, please, please, please give me a 5-star review. Let's get back to the episode. Something else that great black belts understand is progression. No matter what. Progression, no matter what. When I was a purple belt, I opened my school. And like most purple belts, I had, you know, I taught classes, but I'd never run a school. And I was also an adult competitor at the time. And I was doing really good towards the end of purple belt. And as I kind of dug in a little more to being a coach. You know, it became harder to go to my coaches to train. It became harder to compete because I was just, you know, trying to run the gym, trying to get the gym to make more money. But the hardest thing was actually became hard to train. It became hard to train because I went from training at my coach's gym, where he was responsible for getting everybody good, and he would get everybody good, and then I would beat them up and they would be my training partners. And all of a sudden, one day I'm starting with, 10, 12 absolutely brand new people. I now have to teach them everything. I've never really done that before. And I just lost all my training partners. I stopped being able to train with that same group of going to my coach's gym because I have classes now. This was tough. It was a really tough battle for me. And I'll tell you guys, I've told this story before, but we'll just reference it on the podcast. It's always good to reference. So Sean Williams, who's been on the show before, it's actually the most listened to episode on the show currently. There are a few others that are really close, but the Sean Williams episode, most listened to episode on the I Suck at Jiu-Jitsu show. I was doing a seminar and running into this problem. I went to a Sean Williams seminar. And at the end of the seminar, he talked about this idea of rolling without strength. And to me, it really made sense because I go, oh, well, then I could be just like super smooth, at least rolling with these guys that don't know what they're doing. I went from people that were good to people that now are just trying to headlock me from my own closed guard. And that's all they're trying to do, right? Because they're new. They just don't know any better. So I started rolling without strength. I started learning to roll effortlessly. And to me, out of, I think I just did an episode on that a few months ago called the best piece of jiu-jitsu advice I've ever gotten, something like that. And that's what it was. It was learning to roll without strength. You guys can look that episode up and hear exactly how that went for me and exactly how much better I got after that. But that little tip to me was the biggest thing separating me from being a black belt. And I was a very good purple belt. I could beat most black belts that I rolled with at the time, but I still wasn't black belt level. And the biggest thing was I could not progress in any environment. And to me, that's the most important thing that a black belt can do, is no matter what the situation, a black belt should be able to get better, even when you're injured. My personal belief is that you should be able to get better if you are good at jiu-jitsu. It's very hard when you are very new and you're injured, because there's just so much less context that if you were to go and watch instructionals, you go to watch even competition footage, because you're not getting that trial and error that most of us need at the beginning of jiu-jitsu of, hey, I'm going to try this new move. Oh, it doesn't work. I suck. I get submitted, right? Since you're not trying that, it can be hard. But as you get to black belt, I think that if your goal is progression, if you're trying to get better, there should pretty much be no excuse. You should be able to do it. There is so much free information out there. There are so many different perspectives out there. People will, like one of the most common compliments that I get on the show is just the different perspective that I bring. Well, of course I bring a different perspective. I started training in the middle of nowhere. I mean, that is already in itself, that's going to be a big perspective. I also was trying to compete at the highest level all at every belt, training in the middle of nowhere. Of course, that's going to produce a different perspective. But what's cool is there are a lot of people that have super unique situations on how they progressed at jiu-jitsu. Maybe you were in the military and you were, I hear this a lot, you were, a guy that had trained for a few months, and then all of a sudden you are the guy that's running a jiu-jitsu program that, where you guys all just hang out and train. Maybe that's you. I'm sure your perspective is unique. It doesn't make it right or wrong. It's just unique. And the more perspectives that we get to hear, most of the time, especially, they're just perspectives. They are neither right or wrong. They are, hey, where I'm sitting right now and who I am, this is how I see jiu-jitsu. This is how I understand it. This is how I see and understand this position. When you have a bunch of different perspectives, you start to formulate your own. You start to say, okay, this guy sees it like this, and this guy sees it like this, and then Josh sees it this way. I kind of like what all three of them say, but I don't like what all three of them say. And you start to take that and become your own. But the big reason that this matters is because you have to figure out for yourself as an individual how you could progress in any situation, right? Constant progression is one of the most important things for staying in jiu-jitsu. If you stop feeling like you're getting better and you're still putting in a day every, you know, or 4 days a week or something like that, you're going to get discouraged. Being able to progress in any situation is something that I think that all great black belts should have and all great black belts have. Specifically, I even think like Justin Huff, who's been on the show, he's one of my black belts. He will go months without training with each other. We just have a big school. And then I think both of us being the black belts, we also choose what rounds we like. And so for whatever reason, we just don't roll against each other a ton. I think it's because when we were both purple belts, we probably did 90%+ of our rounds together. And it's just, I don't know, just being tired of rolling together so much. But you know, let's say it's been 3 or 4 months since I've rolled with him. I know for a fact that if I roll with him tonight, he and I go into the gym and we do some rounds tonight, I know he's going to be doing different stuff than he did 4 months ago. And I know he's going to feel different. And I bet you even the way he's thinking is going to be a little bit different. And it's because he knows how to progress. It's because he knows that his jiu-jitsu is not a finished product. And he's always adding to it, taking away from it, making it simpler, making it better. That is the habit that you need if you know, as a black belt. If you struggle with progression, though, you know, I kind of gave you, you know, if you struggle with goal setting, you struggle with understanding offense and defense. So I will give you, if you understand or if you struggle with progressing at jiu-jitsu, just keep listening to the I Suck at Jiu-Jitsu show. That's all we talk about. Also, this is a little note at the end of this one. I think black belts, this isn't another point in itself. This, I guess, sticks with progress no matter what. Progress no matter what. Man, those words are spelled the same. Weird. But anyway, black belts understand they're crazy. And when I say they're, I mean like their own crazy, not they are crazy. Even though they are, you know, if somebody's a black belt in jiu-jitsu, even still, you know, let's say most likely it's 2022. Most likely they started training like 14. Jiu-jitsu was starting to get a little bit of the ball rolling in like 2014. But anyone who trained jiu-jitsu in 2000, let's say 2012 or before, you had to be crazy. You had to be nuts. You had to be crazy to train jiu-jitsu during that time. There was no reason to do it unless you wanted to be a UFC fighter. Most of the people didn't. A lot of these people, maybe they went in with that intention, but they were just like, oh yeah, jiu-jitsu's great. So these are the people that are now your black belts. They're nuts. They were nuts then. They were nuts in 2008 when they walked through the door, and they're nuts now. But great black belts understand their own crazy. They understand, for me, for example, I understand how obsessive I am with certain things. And sometimes, of course, it gets away from me. Sometimes, you know, I get obsessed with something I didn't need to, and I waste a lot of time and energy. But sometimes I use it wisely now, and I go, hey, I've got to get better at this position. I'm going to let myself obsess about it, and I'm going to watch a bunch of videos on it and then try it a bunch in the gym and then talk about it a bunch on the podcast, and I'm going to get good at it. That's me utilizing my own obsessiveness, right? My own crazy. I think like the more you are, I don't know what it is. Maybe it's just the more you're on the mats, the more you lose, the more you, one of those things that jiu-jitsu does to you a lot, the more you start to know yourself. Maybe the closer you get to death, and you know, sometimes we're in situations where we're sure we're going to die in the middle of them. But it just seems like the more that you are in jiu-jitsu, the more you begin to know yourself, at least for a lot of us. And you start to know, hey, maybe these things aren't a strength or a weakness. Maybe it depends on how I utilize it. You know, maybe it's just my personality and I need to, I want to learn how to make my crazy help me progress. I think that's something that black belts do really well. And every black belt I've ever met is crazy. I've never left a conversation with a black belt, and I'm sure they've never left a conversation with me, where I go, whoa, that guy was normal. Never. Hey guys, Josh McKinney here. Just want to give you a quick update on something exciting that we have going on at simplifyingjiujitsu.com. So right now, our Three Lenses ebook is absolutely free. This is the most recent ebook that I have written, and it is on jiujitsu learning. If you have struggled, you've said, hey, these people at my school just seem to learn faster than me, the Three Lenses is for you. It will not only explain why that is happening, but it will also give you some tips on creating your own individual training methods, your own individual training schedule. And like I said, this is completely free, only available at simplifyingjiujitsu.com. So if you go to simplifyingjiujitsu.com/3, you can get it absolutely free. Let's get back to the episode. Now let's look at the next thing. Black belts understand the importance of a coach or a mentor. They understand the importance of coaches and mentors. They understand the importance of having people above them that help them achieve their goals, that help them understand their jiu-jitsu better. I think for some people, they might even go, hey, you know, I listen to the I Suck at Jiu-Jitsu show every week. You're kind of one of my mentors. Just like I have certain podcasts that I listen to all the time. And those guys, even though they're online mentors, they're kind of my mentor. But I also have a lot of individual mentors. Every cool thing you've ever heard me say on the show, maybe I would say like, maybe 1% of it is a totally original idea. Maybe. It's pretty much all me getting a lot of perspectives from a lot of different people. And then formulating my own, me asking a lot of questions to a lot of sharp people over years. You know, this is something I've always done. It's not like when I started my podcast, I started to get really curious about jiu-jitsu. And I said, oh, this will help me monetize my jiu-jitsu one day. And I think a lot of, you know, people on YouTube, a lot of people do that. That's totally okay. But for me, I would probably be sitting in my office talking to somebody about jiu-jitsu with the same fervor that I talk to you guys about it every week. It's just what I love to do. I love to experiment with it. I love to find out that I was wrong a year ago, or I wasn't as efficient with my thinking a year ago because I discovered something new. That's really what I want to be doing all the time. But all those cool ideas, all those cool episodes, they came from other people. They came from other coaches. They came from other mentors that I had. You know, I reference coaches and mentors all the time on the show, and I kind of just do it in passing. But if we really started counting the amount of people that I've had help me on all these different parts of life, it would surprise you because you might go, well, Josh is smart, right? Josh seems like a smart guy. He seems to understand jiu-jitsu. I do. And that's why I have a lot of coaches. That's why I have a lot of mentors. When I go to, I'll just give you a few examples of some of the kind of relationships that I have now. Because as you get your black belt, your relationships with coaches, they change. You know, a lot of times you leave, you start your own school or something like that. Of course, you're going to have a different relationship with your coach. But I'll just reference a few relationships I have and explain how they work. And I think it might be helpful to some people as they get to places in jiu-jitsu. So for me, one of my most important and biggest relationships is going to be with my coach, Kyle Watson. Going to have him on the show again soon. I think we're going to do a three-person one with him and a special surprise guest that you guys will like. Kyle is one of my coaches, one of my mentors, has been for 15 years now, for like almost longer than I was alive without him as a mentor. That's pretty cool. But our relationship has changed. You know, I used to be 14. I didn't know anything about jiu-jitsu, and he would help me. And as I got better, I got to purple belt, and I was now competing at a pretty high level of jiu-jitsu. And Kyle's focus was more on his school. It really wasn't on competing as much at that time. Still, not a week would go by where Kyle wouldn't send me a text message, wouldn't ask me in the gym, hey, is there anything you need help with? Was there anything you need help with? Are you sure? And at that time, I don't think I understood how to utilize him near as well. But now we have a different relationship. And how our relationship works now is, for example, I lost at Jiu-Jitsu Con. I got third at Jiu-Jitsu Con. And Kyle sent me a message. He said, hey, let's do lunch this week. We should talk about what tournaments you should be doing, how you should be training, all these things, right? And keep in mind, Kyle respects me as a black belt, as somebody with a lot of knowledge. He doesn't come in and tell me what I need to do, and this is what you should be doing. Super, super respectful. Never, ever steps on my toes with those things. But we go to dinner. We go to lunch. And the whole time, all he does is he asks me questions. What do you think about doing this tournament? Oh, well, why do you want to train that way? How would you fight this guy? What do you think about this? What do you think about that? Just Kyle asked me 50 questions, probably more. They all made me think a little bit differently. They all tweaked, huh, that's interesting. And then what's fun about Kyle too, is there were certain topics that he asked 4 or 5 extra questions about. And on my way home, I was thinking about those even more. I was going, hey, Kyle was asking me a lot here. I should think more about this, right? But I only have this relationship. This is a long relationship, right? This is a 15-year relationship where I can just have this faith that this guy has my best interest in mind. Of course, it would be cool for Kyle if I won a world title, right? But it really doesn't benefit him that much. It really doesn't. He just wants me to do it because he likes me, right? He wants me to do it. When you have relationships like that, you can trust these people so much because they have, just like we talked about at the beginning, they have your goal in mind. They help you set those small little steps to get to your big goal. They help you turn into the person that you need to become to be great. But you need these relationships. You need things like that. I also have, and this isn't a relationship I've had as long, but it's still a very valuable relationship. Junior Silva has been on the podcast before, one of the owners of Revive Jiu-Jitsu. He has a relationship where he can be my negative guy. A lot of times when you're a hard worker and when you're nice, people don't want to tell you negatives. They don't want to tell you what's wrong. They're like, hey, you're doing great. Keep it up. Hey, you're doing great. Keep it up. And maybe you are. But if I ever slip, if I ever am out at a tournament and I didn't push myself, if I gave up, Junior will tell me. He'll be super honest about it. He'll probably be offensive, to be honest, but he will tell me. I have somebody that will keep me in check. He will say, the other day, this is a few weeks ago, me and Nick Sanders were training, and Junior yelled something along the lines. I don't even remember the situation. I mean, I obviously had to be close to getting my guard passed or something, and the round was about to end. But Junior yelled at me, do not let him pass. You will never forgive yourself. And then he yelled, you are going to be thinking about this pass all weekend. I guess he must have passed, right? And maybe I was struggling to belly down. And he was yelling that I will be thinking about it all weekend. And guess what? Thought about it all weekend. He was right. You need people to get on you like that. You know, as much as it, I do it for my students. You know, we all do that. I think all coaches try to bully their students to a little bit more toughness, right? It's what we're supposed to do. And my coaches do that to me. And I think it's important, no matter how good you get, that you have people that are coaches. You have people that'll keep you in check. You know, if I start saying something ignorant on the podcast and I start leading you guys in the wrong direction, I have people that would keep me in check. And, you know, I think understanding the importance of a coach or a mentor, and then understanding the humility that you need to be able to accept criticism from a coach or a mentor, because Junior or Kyle will tell me things that I don't want to hear, or my dad or my wife will tell me things that I don't want to hear sometimes. And even initially, I might be rude about it and be like, oh no, you're wrong. You don't know what you're talking about. But being able to say, hey, I trust this person. I know that they are important to me. I know that they care about my goals. I think that's important. And all great, I mean, all great competitors right now have great coaches. We see it day in, day out. Eventually, you know, they're going to have some money troubles and they're going to hate each other because that's what happens in most of jiu-jitsu. But if that doesn't happen, then they'll probably keep a great relationship. But they all have great coaches, and great coaches, great mentors matter. Last little side note, even with my jiu-jitsu school, which is good, it's doing really well, we just brought on a really, basically the best management team, the best advertising team that you can have. And we just brought them on for our school because we understand the importance of having coaches. You know, they're coaching us once a week and saying, hey, this is what you guys need to do next. This is what you need to stay on. This is what you got to do to get better. No matter what, having coaches, incredibly important, and people that are way better at so many more interesting things than me will preach the exact same thing to you. Last thing is the fifth thing that I think all black belts, all great black belts should understand or do understand. And they understand jiu-jitsu simply. Now, let's talk about something. You keep getting armbarred. You come up to me. You say, hey, Josh, I've been getting armbarred a lot. How do I not get armbarred anymore? What do you think my response is going to be? 100% of the time, it's going to be don't get there. Don't get there. Oh, that's a cheap response. These guys just don't have good submission defense. They don't want you to don't. No, it's not that. Maybe some people, that's the reason they say that. But for me, I don't get armbarred. I don't get darsed. That's the best way to not get darsed. That's the best way to not get armbarred. Just don't be there, right? That is a simple understanding of jiu-jitsu. Obviously, to be good when you're a black belt, don't get there is you applying all kinds of techniques, all kinds of ideas to defend yourself to not get put there. That's all you're doing. You're saying, well, I just don't get put in arm bars. I make sure I am square with my opponent when I'm on top, and then they can't armbar me. I make sure my elbows are tight and they can't armbar me. I make sure they don't control my shoulder and they can't armbar me. But regardless of what you do to avoid the armbar as a black belt, most likely it's a really simple thought. As you get good at jiu-jitsu, what should start happening is it should be easier for you to apply 4 or 5 different techniques because you start to come up with the same general idea, right? When we talk about concepts in jiu-jitsu, and the reason everybody has different concepts that they push is because all a concept is showing how I think about the situation, how I think about the jiu-jitsu that is about to happen. That's all. So when we're thinking about conceptual jiu-jitsu, that's what it is saying, hey, this is what a high-level black belt thinks while they are doing these techniques. Maybe the techniques are 3 or 4 different techniques, but if they have something really simple, okay, this underhook makes these 2 techniques work. So all I'm thinking about right now is fighting for the underhook. I'm not thinking about knee cutting you. I'm thinking about getting the underhook. Once I have the underhook, now I can think about knee cutting you, right? Or I can think about, you know, dropping and trying to step over the mount, or I can think about whatever else. Then we start to add more simple ideas, more understanding to that. of, okay, well, you know, I also know that I can take the back from here too, but you know, I need the underhook still. Or maybe if I miss the underhook, then the back becomes available. When you think simply, that's thinking as a black belt. If you really, sometimes I will verbalize while I'm rolling what I'm thinking about, and I'll just like yell it out while I'm rolling with a student, and it sounds funny. Because sometimes the whole thought process of an entire position, I am literally yelling hip, 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 because that's all I'm thinking about. Once I touch your hip, I'm going to win this position, right? It's because of my deep understanding of jiu-jitsu that lets me simplify it to that extent. But until it's simple, it's not helpful for me. And really, it's not going to be helpful for you if I try to teach you. Until it's simple, if I just go, okay, this is how I was taught this move, and then I'm going to teach you to do it the same way I was taught. Well, I do it very differently now. I think about it differently now. What if I just tell you how I'm thinking about it? Well, all I'm looking for is my elbow to touch this, my hand to get here, my chest to be over his chest. That's it. And then everything else comes from that. But once that is done, everything comes from it, right? That is how good black belts think. That's how great black belts think. They think so simply. So most of the time, when you're thinking it's that you don't know enough, maybe you don't. It's just that you, most likely, it's just that you don't know or you don't understand enough. You don't understand the simple fight that's happening in the position. You don't understand the simple goal of the position, and a high-level black belt does. I think that's all that I have on this one. Those are, in my opinion, five things that all great black belts understand. And that is the episode. Hope you guys enjoyed this one. It's always fun talking about what makes a black belt a black belt. And it's always fun having a very opinionated episode where I'm just like, yeah, this is my opinion and it's truth, because I have more podcast episodes than other people. And so that makes it truth, right? I guess so. Well, anyway, hope you guys are enjoying the podcast too. Hope you are liking the kind of the direction that we're trying to go into. As always, if you guys want to contact me about any episode ideas, any guest ideas, or just about anything, you can send me an email, josh@simplifyingjiujitsu.com. And yeah, I will reply to it, make an episode out of it, or whatever I need to do with it. But if you guys want to contact me, be sure to do that, josh@simplifyingjiujitsu.com. And if you want to hear from me more, be sure to sign up for my free ebook, The Three Lenses, at simplifyingjiujitsu.com, and that will put you on our email list, and you'll be able to hear from me once a week about what's going on, about what episodes dropping soon, about who I've met recently, about anything. But that is all I have for you guys today. I hope you guys enjoyed today's episode, and I hope today's episode helps you guys suck just a little bit less at jiu-jitsu. Have a great day, guys. Hey guys, Josh here again. I notice that the podcast is over, but you are still listening. So you might still be in search of some really good free content that the I Suck at Jiu-Jitsu show provides. So if that is the case, if you guys are looking for some solo episodes where you can learn more about efficiency and effectiveness in Jiu-Jitsu, I would highly recommend two episodes. The first is episode 111, and that is on blitzing. It's this idea of pacing that most people, even black belts, don't think about. And then episode 129 is on designated winner. It is this new training concept that we have been doing at my team. We've been talking about a lot on the I Suck at Jiu-Jitsu show. I've actually been traveling the country and teaching this training method. And so as we continue to grow the show, I think that is going to be the episode that I push most people to. It's episode 129, designated winner, learning to master the flow. This is kind of the missing piece between drilling and flowing and positional sparring. You kind of get to combine all three of those things with Designated Winner and get the effects of all three of those things with Designated Winner. Also, if you guys are interested, if you're looking for some more deep dives into specific things in jiu-jitsu, you can always go to simplifyingjiu-jitsu.com, where I have all of my instructionals, all of my dad's instructionals, and actually a few from my coach Kyle Watson, my friend Nick Sanders, John Prine, really some amazing black belts instructing you at simplifyingjiujutsu.com. Also at simplifyingjiujutsu.com, I have a free ebook for you guys. It is called The Three Lenses. It is the three lenses that people look through to learn jiu-jitsu. Most of us only ever see or learn from one of the lenses. And simply by adding the extra perspective of the other two, you will triple how quickly you get good at jiu-jitsu, especially how well you understand jiu-jitsu. And that is what this free ebook really provides, is a very good way for you to understand the language, understand what's happening, understanding why you are getting better, or more importantly, why you're not getting better. And you can use this free ebook, and it will help you diagram what you want to getting to the goals you want to get to. And so that is all I have for you guys. Make sure to check out Designated Winner. Make sure to check out everything that I have at simplifyingjiujutsu.com, whether it is free or it is paid. You can also follow me on Instagram at the Josh McKinney. If you ever have any questions or comments, or you want to send a suggestion for a Suck Less Saturday episode, you can email me, josh@simplifyingjiujutsu.com. I read all those emails. Sometimes they get repetitive, so I combine five or six emails to be a Suck Less Saturday episode. But keep those emails coming so I can keep producing great jiu-jitsu content, and I can keep hearing from the people who actually enjoy the show and want to keep hearing the jiu-jitsu content that I produce. Have a great day, guys. I hope this last little few minute clip helps you suck just a little bit less at jiu-jitsu. Have a great day.